K1037 aims to bring Ottawa an informative, community-oriented, and diverse talk show to ensure a wide range of opinions. K1037 reserves the right to screen calls. Guests' opinions are not necessarily those of the radio station or its management. Now, Dede Watardan. All of us are talking on the Party Line Talk Show on K1037.
Good afternoon and welcome to Dede Watarda Party Line Talk Show. I'm your host, Len Stacy, and today in studio with me is Jessica O and a couple of community members, and we're going to be talking about addictions and recovery, and I just wanted to share with the community, we've been getting a lot of good feedback, and if people have questions, please feel free to send us a message through the phone system here. We can easily get your questions answered. If you want more information, we can Jessica can hook you up with more information, and we'll go from there. So welcome, Jessica. It's been a while.
It's almost two weeks.
She's almost a regular now. So
almost. And you know what? This month I'll be here once every week. So we're going to have a show like this once a week through the month of February. You know, and we've done this a couple of times so far. And what we're really trying to do is to really get the community talking and reflecting on their own relationships with substance use, and to promote to people that pursuing sobriety is realistic and it's something to be proud of. You know, living a sober life is not something that you need to hide from people, or wanting help for your substance use isn't something to be ashamed of. And really to, you know, help people understand how much strength it takes to, you know, sit down and say, I need help, or I need to stop this habit, and to let people know, you know, there's support for you out there. There are other people in the community who have gone through this. You know, we had Sober Sexy back in November. Yes. And it was great. There were a lot of people there. And for some people, they said it was a great event, but it wasn't our story.
No, it wasn't.
You know, 2 weeks ago we had John McCumber come on, right? And he talked about the Mercier dances.
Yes.
And I've been hearing a lot of people who said, I remember those dances. I, you know, was in the same situation. And it really, when you hear other people's stories, especially other people from the community, sometimes, you know, it just means more. And there's just more connection there. And when we're talking about overcoming addiction, it's really about building that connection. Right?
And I just want to share something else. Being involved while working at KICS, in terms of the addictions program, 30, 35 years ago, it was rare to hear of people who were sober and leading sober lifestyles, and the community didn't support it back then. And now, 30 years later, very easily people are talking about, I've been sober for a year, I've been sober for 10 years. One of my friends just celebrated her 26th year. So, you know, it's like, and people are jumping in with the joy, and that it's becoming more of a norm. Mm-hmm. And people, and there's a lot more people are choosing not to drink, period. And I have to say, for me, that's a wonderful thing to see, you know, going back a few years, and that wasn't the case.
Right. And, you know, one of the statistics I always like to quote is, when you look at the abstention rates of people who are using just alcohol, right? So in Quebec, 18% of the population doesn't drink alcohol. In Canada, it's 20%, but in First Nations communities, it's 35%. So even though there's this perception that alcoholism is worse in First Nations communities, we have more people who do not drink alcohol at all. And, you know, there may be different reasons for that, but we support people, and, you know, we support the people we love. And it's just, we do these shows to really encourage that, you know, understanding that people need support, people need understanding, and really, you know, the more we talk about it, the more we're going to get rid of the stigma surrounding addictions and even, you know, sobriety. So with that, I want to first thank both of our guests today, because, you know, like I always say, it takes a lot of bravery and a lot of courage to come on the radio and to share your story. And so we'll get started now because I don't want to take up too much time.
Yes,
they have
yes.
great stories.
This is their time.
Yeah. So our first guest today is Dan Tice.
Hello, my name's Dan Tice. I'm an Ojibwe from Garden River, Ontario. I've been in Quebec now for the past 18 years or so, and I'm very excited to be here today to share my experience with overcoming addiction.
Great, thanks. And I just wanted to add, for anybody who isn't familiar with Dan, when we started, you know, looking for people to come on the air, Dan was one of the first people that came in, and a lot of people in this community, Dan has helped a lot of people in the community. And, you know, I keep getting a big thumbs up from people who know him, and, you know, they know his story and how much support that he's been able to give other people. So, you know, let's get started. Dan, can you tell us, you know, what was life like when you were still using whatever your substance of choice was?
Very, very chaotic. I started drinking at a very young age. 14 or 15 years old was my first experience with beer. The effect it had on me was enormous. The freedom I got from that was what I tried to stay with for the next probably 20 years. Nothing but trouble, mostly. Always in fights, and been arrested in almost every city I lived in. Never sober. I was always intoxicated. And then at 33 years old, I started to seek some help to overcome the addiction, because I just couldn't see life without drinking. Like, what am I supposed to do on the weekend? Stuff like that, at dances or weddings. And I just couldn't see a life without drinking and drugging. But it wasn't until I met a man 7 years ago who actually set me down and showed me a way to heal and to get well, and to help other people in the same manner.
Hmm. So I guess, how long have you been sober?
6.5 years now.
That's excellent.
Yeah, but I've been at it for about 12.
Yeah, because it's not always easy, right? What pushed you to choose a life of sobriety?
The pain I was in most of my life, the insecurity, the depression. Then at 33 years old, I got my second DUI, which my family and people close to me, we came to the decision that maybe it's a good idea that I stop drinking. So that's when I started to seek help. I went to a 21-day rehab, and it was the first time I was introduced to a 12-step program, which I stayed in for 5 years and just utterly failed. I kept relapsing, thinking that I was a weak-willed individual that just couldn't stay sober. And like I said, until I met this man who showed me how to get well through that process of the 12 steps.
But I think one of our last guests talked about that, and the readiness to be able to do this. You know, a lot of times people say, yeah, I want to do it, but you need support, you need help. You in your mind need to say, I need a new life, right?
Absolutely. But the difference between in my teachings, there's different types of alcoholics. The one I am is the one who's lost the power of choice. No matter what, okay, I do on my own power, eventually I will relapse again. And because I did the rehabs, I did the outpatient therapies, I did the I got back to the culture. I was in a sweat lodge for multiple times over many years. I did a fast. I was put in the bush for 4 days without any food or water, seeking Creator to relieve me of this obsession that I was under.
So what is it, has sobriety been like now, you know, in the past 6.5 years? We'll fast forward, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. All the things I suffered from before, the low self-esteem, the insecurities, the depression, has all been alleviated. It does not exist for me anymore. I'm free. The obsession that dominated my existence is no longer there, so I'm able to live. I haven't been arrested in 6.5 years. I haven't physically assaulted anybody in 6.5 years. You know, I haven't I've been faithful to my woman for the past 5 years since I've been with her. Just everything has changed, and I've had the opportunity to sit down with many different individuals and to try to give them what I've been given.
So I guess knowing all this now, looking back, when you started to drink or use, what was the attraction?
The attraction was at a young age, I wanted to be like the big guys, yeah. You know, the men on the res. I wanted to be big and tough and to fight and to chase women and to be that. And I did that for many years, many, many years. I started playing in men's native tournaments at 16 years old. And my parents, my mother especially, did not want me to go. But I always promised I'll wear my full face cage to alleviate some of her worry. But the whole idea was to be like that. That image I saw as big and tough and strong.
So I guess I wanted to just backtrack a little bit. In terms of the staying sober, what were some of the issues that really caused you to keep relapsing, I guess would be the word?
Well, it's the thing that I suffer from to be, like I said, they differentiate between the types of alcoholics. In my literature, they talk about the moderate alcoholic, the hard alcoholic, and then the real alcoholic. And that's me, the one who's lost the power of choice. The mental obsession, no matter how great the will to stay sober, like I was a single father for 5-6 years, two kids at home, I had work, and I had people relying on me, and my mind would click, and I would go again. I couldn't stop for good and all. It's that mental obsession that differentiates between people who can choose not to drink and guys like me who do everything in their power to stop, but they keep falling down. And the teachings that I follow, it's all based on a power greater than yourself, a creator, universal intelligence, whatever you want to call it. I've done a lot of seeking over the past 12 years, trying to figure out what that was. And the conclusion I come to is I just don't know. But I'm absolutely positive that something has stepped in front of me that has brought me to the freedom I enjoy today.
Okay. We worked our way to a break, and we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.